Todd, say hello and welcome. You're listening to the voices of our people on the Windspeaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker Trombley. Today, I continue my conversation with Candace Ward from Kahewan Cree Nation in Northern Alberta. What advice would you give, not only just to myself, but other aspiring photographers that want to follow in your similar footsteps to take photos, to capture moments that, you know, as the old saying goes, a photo is worth a thousand words, a picture is worth a thousand words. What advice would you give?
Tell a story. Understand why and what you're putting in front of your camera. So you're there to tell a story, and like if you're trying to, why that saying says a picture is worth a thousand words, it means you should be able to look at a picture and understand everything that's happening in that story without having to read the story. That's what that means. So you shouldn't have to read the caption. Of course, you will. Like, if you want to know exactly who that person is, like if it's not somebody famous that you already recognize, you would have to read the caption to know the name of that person. But you want to be able to look at a picture and feel that moment. So whether it's a moment of joy, pain, you know, like you want to be able to just feel it in that moment. So in sports, you want to be able to understand what happened in a game by looking at one picture. So if it's a Stanley Cup final, if you don't have somebody hoisting the cup in the picture, do you know that that was the Stanley Cup final? Probably not. So understanding, you got to understand what you're putting in front of your camera and why. It's not just the technical part of point and shoot. It's having relevant content from corner to corner of all your frames, and that it best tells the story without having to explain the story to somebody.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And now with that, you know, with being shaped into the photographer that you're well known to be, let's talk about somebody that helped you shape you into that. One of the many people, I should say. Can you talk about Jen Pierce, a fellow photographer in the sports photography, and how that person has influenced you with helpful advice that motivated you and shaped you into the person that you're known as today?
I think that's kind of the reverse. Jen is... Jen graduated after me. Can we kind of take this question out?
Yeah,
would that be okay?
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Okay. No worries. I just wanted
okay,
to, yeah.
So Jen is actually, like, this is off the record. Jen would be more like I mentored her versus the other way around. Yeah. And Jen is somebody I've worked with, but she's always been like an assistant to me or a second shooter to me.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's not been her influencing my career. It's been more me influencing her career.
So let's touch on that then. So with the mentoring portion of your career, what's that been like to take somebody under your wing and say, this is how it's done, this is, you know, how we tell the story? Like, what's that been like?
That's been a pretty rewarding part, probably, like, for me as well. Like, I did just finish teaching. I was a contract instructor at SAIT in the same program, in the journalism program, for 3 years. And it's been amazing. Like, I love taking time to teach people like how to tell a good story through photography, how to connect with people and how to tell their stories. That part has been amazing. I've been lucky enough to have a couple of, like, I had a couple of interns or like practicum students over my time. And I think most, yeah, and all those, I still stay in touch with them. It's rewarding for me too. Like, I think, I'm not saying the way I do things is the right way all the time. That's definitely not it. But ultimately, like, it's me versus me, and I want people to understand that it's them versus them all the time. That when they're out there in the industry, they're trying to make a better picture that every day, better than the one they made the day before. So when they're out there they're competing against themselves. They're not really competing against somebody else. So if you're at, say you're at the Super Bowl shooting, you might be competing with other people and other publications, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's like, no, you're competing with yourself to get the file faster than you've gotten it out before, get the right angle, the right storytelling picture, like that part you're doing. So helping other people is not like giving away the secrets. Like, it's not like giving away any like massive secret. I don't mind, for me, it's like, I don't mind helping to teach somebody to drive, but I'm not going to give them the keys to my car. So like, I will help people in any way that I can, but I'm also not going to give you my client list. Like, you can go buy your own car.
I know that feeling all too well. I know that feeling all too well because, you know, in this industry, you know, we had just got a new news guy that just started, and he was a buddy I went to school with. And once he started, he was nervous at first, but you could tell that he was, you know, easing himself into it, but always asking questions. And I know that humbling feeling all too well to help somebody, you know, to be a better person for the better and not to be better than that person. And, you know, you also can learn from a lot from the people you teach as well. They can also teach you a thing or two. And of course, with that being said, I have to ask, with some advice that you've gotten over the years, you know, as one friend has once told you, a friend of yours told you one time that you don't have to be anybody's definition of an Indigenous person. You just are one. And when you hear that quote that's been repeated to you, and then you've often said, how, like, what would you hope for that people could take away from that? Because I feel like a lot of times, you know, especially myself when starting in this career, especially with Windspeaker, I have found my identity within being a Métis person, Region 1. Is that what that quote would mean in a sense, is to just remember who you are and where you come from?
I think so, but it's also just don't feel that like outside pressure from outside of our community. I think that's the more important part, is that it's not necessarily coming from within our community. It's from the outside of our community. Is those, that kind of pressure of them like having an expectation of your knowledge of your culture, your connection to your community, like all that kind of stuff. Like, if it's like, oh, well, you didn't live in your community growing up, that means you're not really Indigenous. It's like, no, I am. I still am. Like, that's just because that's what you think should Indigenous people should be like. That doesn't mean what it is. So that's just kind of how I took it. Is when I was told that, it's just like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, going to ceremony regularly, if you're, you know, you participate in powwow, you this and that, like all those kind of things. It doesn't matter what their definition is. It's just, you just are Indigenous. No matter how close to your culture, your family, whatever, it doesn't matter. You just are. So that was a big thing for me. It was just like, it doesn't matter what other people's definition of Indigenous is. Like, it's in my blood. It just is. I just am.
And you had touched earlier in the interview that you had worked, like you were at the table with your organization to talk about organizing Indigenous events and such. Now, the Indigenous celebration and culture, is there a difference between the Indigeneity from the States compared to, you know, Indigeneity, you know, here in Canada? What's the differences, or what are some of the similarities that you've seen with going into some of the Indigeneity communities within the stateside?
I haven't actually been in yet, so that would be too hard for me to answer.
No worries. But and then I have to ask though, with you being in your industry, have you run into many Indigenous photographers alongside yourself and said, hey, like, you know, like, it's great to see that? Or would you want to see more Indigenous people, men, women, or two-spirited, to participate and become photographers to help tell stories, because we are known for being storytellers?
This is a great question. I want to see more. Like, I want to see more. And if there was any possible way that I could help get more people out there, like get gear into the hands of our people, that would be a dream come true. In my industry, I don't know, and I would love to be corrected. I don't really know any Indigenous women photographers who are shooting high-level sports consistently like myself. I've just started talking to somebody who has an internship at a major sports team, but hasn't been like as rooted in like the major league type stuff that I've been in for as long as I've been in. And it is lonely and it is difficult to navigate because people don't get it. And like, you're trying to like carve a path and get people to understand representation. And it seems like people don't really care. They don't understand how important it is to like our youth or our women in our communities too, to say like, hey, you don't have to be a professional athlete. You don't have to be a coach to be able to work or be in sport. Mm. Like you can find a way to be in sports in other capacities. And photography is one of them, or videography, content creation, storytelling, like all that kind of stuff. You can do that, but they don't have anyone. Like, I don't have anyone that I can look up to, or have had anyone that I can look up to as an example. I've had to do it alone and be on this path alone. And it is difficult. Like, it is extremely difficult. And I want women and like people of our community to understand, like, this is a path you can take. Mm. And I hope that I can find a way to make it easier for them to be able to take this path. I think it's getting slightly easier than when I started, for sure. But it's a grind, and it's hard, and it's like doors do not open as easily as you think. Like, nothing is, it's like being an athlete. Mm-hmm. Stuff's not just handed to you. You got to work like pretty hard to get anywhere in this career. So it's, yeah, I would really like to see some more Indigenous photographers, especially in the field of sports, for sure.
Tap way. And, you know, and I can't agree more, because I remember when I was going through SAIT, it was my final year, my final semester, and my instructors brought me in. That was Richard Strobant and Lisa McDonald and Laura Knopright. They all asked me the same question. Is there any way that you can help get us Indigenous people, more indigeneity in this industry, even in photojournalism, because they know the instructors there, and of course other journalistic programs that were within SAIT? And I didn't know how to answer that, because at the time I was like, well, at the time I had just signed the contract with Windspeaker, and at the time I was thinking many different ways and how to tackle that and how to bring that to fruition, because I know here at the studio we brought in kids from, you know, high schools to take a tour of the studio and everything else. And I feel that, you know, when I started my journey within schooling, I didn't know that you could get into the line of radio or the sports world and stuff like that. I didn't know that was feasible. I thought you just had to be an athlete or a celebrity or a retired athlete, right? And so with that being said, I feel that with the minds that combine together, it can create something beautiful, a more feasible approach towards, you know, getting into industry, whether that be radio, whether that be photography. Do you feel that way as well? Like, if there should be more out there to help make it more accessible towards getting into those careers, especially with it being competitive, of course.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is I think people just, you know, if you're in the majority in sports, meaning non-Indigenous people working in sports, you don't understand the power of representation. You really don't get it. Like, and I've had this argument multiple times, and I've had this, especially one time, there was one instance where someone I was working for was doing some work in one of the communities, one of the Indigenous communities. Mm-hmm. And they didn't take me. They took a non-Indigenous photographer. And I'm like, and I like got very upset by this because I was like, do you not understand that you actually have an Indigenous photographer working within your system and you chose not to take them? Mm-hmm. You took a non-Indigenous person instead. Mm-hmm. And then they said to me, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Wow.
And I'm like, but that's the problem. Like, that's part of the problem is that it is a big deal. Like, if you're in that community and you happen to attend just that one event and you see someone that looks like you working with an organization like that, that can be the moment. Mm-hmm. That could be that game-changing moment for that person to be like, hey, I didn't realize, like, I could be doing this. I could be working with this organization or within organizations like it, mm-hmm. and I could be, you know, telling these stories and like working, you know, like this is a viable career option for me. Mm-hmm. I thought I had to do, you know, I thought I had to make it as like an all-star like athlete to get out, like to get out of like this kind of like to get out there in the industry, like mm-hmm. into the sports world or into, you know, a certain corporate world or like this and that, like it, that representation matters so much and it's so undervalued by people who are in the majority.
That was Candace Ward from Kahew and Cree Nation in Northern Alberta. You're listening to the voices of our people on the Windspeaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker-Tremblay. Next, we continue our conversation with Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta. So, Charlie, I have to ask because, you know, as you got older, you became more of a leader and impacting your communities in a positive way through many years. Just to name some of the things that you've done in the communities, you've worked alongside the government of Alberta, Alberta Children's Services, the Alberta School Boards Association, Horizon School District, and development of a provincial resource outlining fair and equitable elder and knowledge keeper honorariums, as well as working alongside Medicine Hat College as well. So when you hear all those things that you've done over the course of many years, what does that mean to you? And talk a little bit about that journey going towards working in some of those areas in your life.
no, the car no. The store is open, no, Ganis Kakui. Ah, looks a knee sixty, cannot in mixy. A mocha in Sima boot that she knew, but no garmy taxi key. Apotskin axi, can mix a noctama tissue. Ogazida sit a beef, can ye? Nox sneeper, nita boat the cupe in his own sneeper. Nidayak steepest cupe. Damoa came up in. Kaki darty, ni deckis stopi. Yaxi dohanati tsigatu, dalski, stop by sit a pee. And you suddenly meet up the old soaks, sniff a man in, who steaks, few white woman is ducky. Okay. In the piece of pork, see, I'm conquest the quick. He got all ye. I must sit up, old ducky, busy. I'm a kiss, cochty. Genix knocked on my tapon, eat the Genix gulping, taxi. Dati chikatai. Ki kapita po tumuay nisi. Apatsaw katsinaxi. Akumatsi okitikis sabay. Kene isit sku takay. Okitoko ko yaj. Kiamo itaku iskopi. Ini mai sana mau kasih toka putak. Ini si, nok si, nok pikso pemi makin susi. Ini saya nok tomatap, nok tomatapu. Kau mai ni topis sini nuta susi. Ini saya put sini ini nok tomatap. Ini jika kita mici pemuka. Kaske it is not gonna be chickens not each not bad to be okay nick so let me just no be no see in next ni so stoy ni just no be no see in next ki hixen the coin no to sneak be ani so just na o tak be no see. Sikutu tukak aniksika. Aka uskua waya ka samitopi yao. Ya muknina uutak sini. Sika kai nukit spumistakti. Aamo. Aamo mokso kui aami tapika sikisteisi mi sikukuduki. Anyei. Jits pumstach minna. Ogeni mi tai jokkeh pia putskin äksi. Mi tai suhteen okei. Agas sikaapi. Ogeni ma taaki. Mi toiskoksamat sikaapi. No homan stehti vanim. Mi taatu imskoupi. Taapesik tuupi uusik. Matui. Antok kristi koikenne. Saakir kuumatehti. Nu ska jag nog inte spumsta kvinnan. Och jag har mitt avgåisk. Och tycker som jag inte spumsta kvinnan. Nu ska jag nog inte åka på det gino i tiskan nån. I skinnemans toksinien ska jag. Nu har jag inte snabbt att byta det spumsta kvinnan. Nu ska jag inte åka på det gino. Mo amo itas kene mats to kupin say jit spumpita finna no to mats tipi ogen kristi koika ya marta pu takipa no to tsumaka ko has itas kene mats to kupis ti an nom sikokko toki itas so yo pi samsin ogeni omko isi marka. Ei takkaa ole, apaa mahkaa ole. Mutta Jetzi is to market nakits from Pitani. Kimixi, a bat soccer, Kimaxi, Domdavits from Pitani, Samigas Bochuma, can't see. Can they no harmless this gay bats and no pin who must esteem a creep for your last day? Zonimitrosiska, nakits from Pitani. To a stormy. Astrik huskinimia needs a bad a POP. Ich die is cheap on his soap, he is done on that. In unchristigo, his saga is gonna tap soap. And his gay, astatomia makhusks nisa. And Christian who does a book to his atopia, he is cooked needs a bad a POP. He could skunna tap soap, he is done on that mufka. 现在恐怕在珍惜我这个国家呢，一祖国莫自由吧。啊，现在恐怕不可得一步的是不莫自由。我个去只买个马土代基，个啥基是怎样呢？现在一个苏格比瓦个，阿基特曼斯达布的就是莫自由。阿巴特苏克基，我跟你们说，平南不自由，安那尼只达比瓦。The question is very broad, you know, and makes reference to my work history, and of course, you know, there's all of us that grew up in First Nations reserves, you know, most of us went to residential school. They made a strong effort of eliminating our language, our whole way of life, our culture, you know, and they did a good job of that with me because when I left there, I was a very angry person and had, resorted to alcohol and abuse and stuff like that, you know, and it didn't help me. But with the upbringing I had, you know, with my father, who was a very kind person, and he taught us to work, you know, and so... mostly working, you know, knowing how to do farm and ranch chores, you know, really helped me to really understand, you know, what work is all about, you know. And thus I went back to school and to the Lethbridge Community College, and I did my practicum with adult probation and under the Solicitor General, and from that resulted in employment with the Solicitor General Department, Adult Probation in Calgary for about 7 years. So I think we all aspire to do some things, you know, and I've always felt comfortable working with in the agricultural fields, you know, so eventually you return home, you know, and started back into that, you know, but I was working for Kaina Industries, you know, it's a modular home building industry that was developed back in 1967. And it created a lot of employment and offshoots of that, you know, for our people. And I was able to get my start, you know, I had my own place, my house, and I started running horses and cattle. I really enjoyed that. And eventually got on tribal council. I served on two terms, each were 2-year terms. And the work that I did, you know, I learned a lot, you know, being on tribal council. Some of our accomplishments, you know, we negotiated with the provincial government and we were able to, they put in this 509, you know, which goes to the north end of our res and on to Lethbridge, you know.
That was Charlie Fox from Kainai Nation in Southern Alberta on Voices of Our People. I'd like to thank today's special guests for joining us, Candace Ward and Charlie Fox. Tune in next Thursday for more Voices of Our People on the Windspeaker Radio Network.